in the previous hour, in Proverbs 3. And the first few chapters of Proverbs are on seeking wisdom. And I believe David taught Solomon well. David was such a good king, king of Israel. And he taught his son Solomon well. He taught him to seek wisdom. And the rewards of wisdom are in chapter 3 of Proverbs. And I know you have a friend, Darren, who says the best thing that a man can do as head of his household is to read a Proverbs a day. And he does that on a daily basis.
Well, I do know that he told me the other day he's done it for about the last 16 years. He reads a proverb every day. And he is a man that I go to, and he's a mentor of mine in the financial area. And I really appreciate him, and I trust him. And often when he's talking to me, he will spit out scripture, scriptures many times out of the book of Proverbs.
Yes, he will.
And the other day we needed a scripture, and after I left him, and I called back and said, "And would you leave this on my voicemail?" And he took time. It didn't happen to be in the book of Proverbs, but he took time to call back and leave that scripture on her voicemail. He really is a minister of the gospel, and yet he's a full-time businessman.
That's right. Oh, he does minister to us. But in chapter 3, he's talking here about, "My son, don't forget my teaching." And this is Solomon, but it's talking about his father instructing him, his father David. "And for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." When wisdom comes and resides in us, we are going to spend our life with great, not only good health, Darren, but full days, days that are full of life and full of energy. And it's important that we see that here. And peace. What are people seeking? They're seeking peace. "And do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Now, some things about tithing, you want to reason out in your mind, it's not going to compute. And that's what God says here in the third chapter. Don't lean on your own understanding and your own learning and your own education in the school system. "But in all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body." Remember this. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be a proud man. Don't say, "Well, you know, this is my take on it." But seek God, seek his word, and you're going to have healing in your own body and in refreshment to your bones, it says, Darren.
We know we've heard that saying so many times in different words. Mm-hmm. But what people are saying, "Well, let me tell you what I think." Well, I would have a lot more respect for them as a believer if they would say, "You know, the book of Proverbs says in chapter 7, verse 4, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend." Mm-hmm. Well, now, I have encouraged people to do that in seminars and teaching, and sometimes we've done that as a class.
Yes.
We've said, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend." That's one of the best things you could do in the morning. You get up and say, "Wisdom. Wisdom, you're my sister. Understanding,
right.
You're my intimate friend. And I depend on you to direct me today."
Right.
Now, Proverbs talks about wisdom with a feminine quality, as if wisdom was a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it can become that real to us because that's going to guide us. In fact, it says that over here in Proverbs 6. It says there are six things. Let's see here. Let me just find that. Here it says, "My son," in verse 20, "observe the commandments of your father. Do not forsake the teachings of your mother. Bind them continually there in the heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they'll talk to you."
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom will do that, Barbara, if we treat it with respect.
Yes.
And if we search for wisdom with all diligence. Now, that, again, is not something that reason will tell you.
That's right.
That's in absolute opposite, I mean, in conflict with reason.
Our own understanding will never understand this. And if I can go back to chapter 3 again, Darren, as it talks about, don't lean on your own understanding, acknowledge God, don't be a proud person, turn away from evil, it will be healing to your body. There is a sequence here, and the very next verse, verse 9 of Proverbs 3 says, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. This is not only in the law, it is a wise thing that a person who loves the Lord and wants to learn his way does. And the Lord says, as you honor me with your first fruits, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And he says, this is what you do to be prosperous.
Now, you know, the flesh, though, screams. The flesh says, you know, I think maybe I better hold back some stuff here. And maybe I better, I know God doesn't really need my money. God got along before I came along, so I'm going to hold on my money. But, you know, when we take a generous attitude here and we make a decision to give that first 10%, and then I was listening to a message by a businessman the other day, and he was talking about changing his attitude toward his suppliers. He said on this tape, I used to think that if I held the money for an extra 30 days, you know, that was just a good business practice. And then all of a sudden the Lord convicted me, and I'm looking here at, in the same chapter, Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Now, that's not only the Lord, but that's our business associates. And I watch you, and you're a tremendous money handler, Barbara. Thank you. Mm. I needed you. You came on at the right time. But when we have a bill that comes into the ministry, and sometimes my flesh still rises up and say, yeah, maybe we ought to hold that, and things are a little tight, and we ought to see how. You don't do that. No matter how much is in the account, when it's due, you pay it. Mm-hmm. That brings a blessing from the Lord. In other words, we keep that money cycling, and we keep it moving around.
Circulating, yes.
Circulating is the word I was looking for. Not only with the tithe, but with bills that are due. And when you go by the word of God, don't withhold good from those to whom it is due. In other words, if you got a bill, pay it.
That's
and God will bring that checkbook balance right back up there if you do it his way. And I believe that's wisdom, Barbara. God's just now speaking to me, but I believe that's wisdom released out of tithing. I really believe God releases wisdom when we do it his way.
I agree with you. I agree so much with you. And it's a pleasure for me to pay bills to the people that have been generous and given us favor. For instance, we have a printer, Darren, that he gives us such favor. And he gives us such great financial breaks in our printing. And we do a lot of printing. And it is a blessing for me to write that check to him every month. It really is. Where others, you know, I write it because I'm obligated to write it. But there are certain people that it's a pleasure for me to write the.
But you know, we have three or four suppliers that way, Barbara. We have such great favor with these suppliers, and they look for ways to give us a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have any product problem with any of the products, you always will if they're man-made, and everything we use are man-made. You go back, oh, we'll take care of that. And they bend over backwards to take care of it when there was a problem. And, you know, I just can't thank the Lord enough for that concept that when we don't withhold and these suppliers know every time they're going to get their money,
yes.
So it's not a problem. Oh, yeah, we'll take care of that. I call them on the phone. They take care of things for me. Well, that's walking in God's favor.
Yes, it is.
And I believe that's another thing released out of the power of the tithe. The tithe has such power in it. When we handle it God's way, the blessings are just extraordinary.
Well, when we're talking about tithe, we need to get into the book of Nehemiah, and I think we'll cover this in the next half of our teaching. The people of God were given such specific teachings about what pleased God. And he's our creator. And Darren, how dare we say, well, what do I care what pleases God? I mean, I'm my own boss. I'm self-sufficient, and I do my own thing.
In other words, it all starts with me and ends with me,
that's
right?
That's right.
It doesn't work that way.
That's right. You have a pit to look forward to. Yes, you do. You have nothing but defeat and poverty to look forward to, if that's your attitude. And because God is my creator, I want to please him. So I want to learn his ways. And the one thing that led to this captivity of 70 years of the children of Israel, Darren, is that they did not obey God. They hoard after other countries. They prostituted themselves. They didn't keep the Sabbath. And they didn't keep the tithes. And we're going to talk about that in the book of Nehemiah, how they came back and they reinstituted the tithe. And I believe that's such an important message to us. that
wasn't that one of the first things they reinstituted?
Yes, that after disobedience, they did learn God's ways. They wanted to obey God after they were severely disciplined. And I believe sometimes God's people have to be severely disciplined when they don't do what they're supposed to do.
You know, I know some people.